Chapter 9.
When you said bodies, lots and lots of bodies,
Luke complained through his helmet microphone,
I sort of expected them to be dead bodies. Who knew?
Ben asked.
Do they look alive to you? Do they feel alive?
Luke had to admit they did not. He and Ben were standing just inside the chamber they had seen from the control room, held to the floor by the station's centrifugal force. But they were shining their helmet lamps up into the chamber's weightless interior, where a gently undulating sea of limbs and torsos was slowly drifting past their heads. The writhing light they had observed through the control room viewport was still visible, though only as an inconstant purple glow silhouetting the bodies above their heads. Every few seconds, a hand or foot would twitch or a puff of breath vapor would rise from someone's mouth, providing subtle evidence of life. And that was the only evidence. Even their force presences seemed almost non-existent, so faint and dispersed that they could not be separated from the diffuse aura that permeated this whole part of the maw.
They don't feel like anything,
Luke admitted.
At least not anything I've felt in the Force before.
He hit a chin toggle inside his helmet, activating a faceplate display that showed the environmental readings in the chamber. Seeing nothing more troubling than a slightly elevated CO2 reading and a chilly room temperature, he put his life support on standby and reopened his faceplate. As the seal broke, the ammonia reek of unwashed bodies filled his nostrils. Because human noses were so poor at discerning distinct odors, he struggled to identify individual smells. The strongest was simply the result of too many unwashed bodies in a confined space. But there was also an undertone of decomposition, and barely detectable, of desiccated flesh. Not everyone in the chamber was still alive. Then the odors all combined into a single eye-watering stench, and Luke had to call on the Force to prevent his stomach from rebelling. After a few shallow breaths, he conquered his revulsion and began to feel the bite of cold air on his nose and cheeks. The temperature wasn't quite freezing, but it was cold enough to make him wonder whether someone or something was trying to limit the rate of decay in the chamber. Ben's helmet hissed open, then Ben gasped.
Blow up! I thought before that smells couldn't get any worse.
Then you haven't spent enough time with Hutts, Luke observed. We'll have to correct that. Ben half suppressed a gag, then asked,
You do that to your own son?
Consider it a continuing education, Luke said. A Jedi Knight should be comfortable in any environment.
Ugh, I'll bet Yoda wasn't this cruel.
Yoda lived in a swamp, Luke reminded his son. He made me eat stuff that smelled worse than this.
No way.
Absolutely. Luke did his best Yoda imitation.
Mmm, Slarro fresh from the swamp. Tickles the throat it does, and the belly it fills.
A croaking noise came from inside Ben's helmet. Luke chuckled. Just breathe through your teeth, he said. You'll get used to it. Luke began to shine his headlamp on the beings floating nearby. They were dressed in light overalls or two-piece utilities, both of the type worn beneath vac suits, and their feet were either bare or covered in boots. Many were humans, but there were beings from most spacefaring species, Faleen, Twi'lek, Bothan, and dozens of others. They were universally gaunt and unkempt, and those in older fashions appeared noticeably thinner and more slovenly than those wearing modern clothes. When a headlamp illuminated their faces, they would usually shift their gazes or even move a hand to shield their eyes. But once in a while, especially when the individual was particularly emaciated or dressed in especially old fashions, the pupils would fail to contract, and there would be no reaction at all. Ben was shining his lamp on one such body, a half-mummified Bith male in a sleeveless Old Republic-era jumpsuit, when he finally let out a nervous groan.
This is really starting to shiver me out.
Me too. Luke reached in front of a young Wookiee female and shone his headlamp on his hand, then watched in growing confusion as her eyes focused on it only briefly before turning inward again. I think they're meditating to death.
Yeah, that's pretty murk, all right, Ben said. But take a look at this.
Luke turned to see a line of liquid beads floating in the beam of his son's headlamp, curving down out of the mass of bodies above. He had seen too many similar beads in too many space battles not to know what they were, and their bright crimson color suggested they had been shed fairly recently. Who's bleeding? Luke asked. Ben activated his wrist lamp and turned to shine it behind them, following the crimson trail up into the tangle of floating bodies. Several beings had strings of red ovals on their clothes, but there were no rips or wounds visible, and all of the stains appeared too small to be the source of the heavy blood trail.
Only one way to find out, I guess.
Ben hitched a thumb toward the interior of the chamber.
Shall we?